Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What up?
What's the good word?
The good word is sports. Ducks.
It is a very, very sportsy day here in the Pacific Northwest. Ducks, Cougs.
Football.
Not so much Huskies.
Dodgers.
Seahawks.
What?
Oh, Seahawks?
Well, but that doesn't count.
Why not?
I don't count that
Why
one.
Don't the Sea Chickens count?
Because the Raiders suck.
Have you seen the Hawks' three wins? It's against according to the power rankings, it's like 28, 26, and 21, and their losses are against like 1, 3, and 6.
Oh.
Yeah. So
they've played no one in the middle.
Yeah, they beat the really bad teams.
Yeah.
They lose to the really good teams, and we don't know about anyone in the middle.
Well, they're kind of in the middle.
Yes.
So they need to play some more teams in the middle to know where in the middle they are.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
They're right in the meaty part of the bell curve, not jumping ahead of the
class, not falling
behind.
Who cares about them? First of all, exciting news.
Yes.
Exciting news. The Ducks win.
Yes.
And we'll be talking about
today. People are losing their ass over this.
I tell you what, that was a big game, bro.
It was. Like, I don't think I fully appreciated. Like, we had the conversation, like, if they win, are they back? And I didn't fully.
Oh, they're back.
At least people think they are. I did not fully appreciate.
I think they are.
The width of the celebration, if you will, that was going to happen when they won. If you were to just look at the reaction, you would think they beat Washington by 900 points and made like the definitive statement of all definitive statements.
Well, it was a definitive statement. I mean, but it was such a close game that it's like,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
it wasn't a definitive statement of all definitive statements.
The
statement is, it's a bigger statement. One, you beat your biggest rival.
Sure.
Two, you've been through some real low points over the last handful of years. Mm-hmm. And that game sort of signified that could be over. Three. What was three?
I don't know. You didn't tell me.
I was just
three.
Listening.
You were just going off.
I'm already hot today.
Allow me to just drop this.
I'm sorry. I think I figured it out.
I
figured it out. Number three. I don't remember. Go ahead.
Awesome win. You are one of the two best teams in the Pac-12. Well, two or three, right? You still got to play Washington State and maybe by the end of the year, USC. You're one of the better teams in the Pac-12. And you beat what we thought was the best team in the Pac-12. But at the same time, if UW kicks a 37-yard field goal, what are we saying about the team?
Hey, I knew you'd come on here and poo-poo this.
No, I'm not poo-pooing
anything.
First
of all,
that was a monster win, and you were great along the both sides of the football. I thought you won the line of scrimmage battle for the most part. You showed a lot of resiliency. But this idea that somehow this, I don't know, just puts you back on top and you rule the roost in the Pac-12.
Order restored, dude.
Hey, those two teams play each other, you know, 10 times.
But I think that's the point. The point is Washington has dominated this conference for the last couple of years, and they just came in with like this gigantic litmus test for you.
Yeah, you
like,
passed
where
it.
Are you? And
yeah.
you're damn well right they passed it.
Yeah.
And not only that they passed it, and they did get a little lucky to win, but they won the game.
Mm-hmm.
They passed it with flying colors in the trenches. And I think that... You know what, man? Of all of this stuff about the Ducks, and you know me, I'm not the guy that's going to be over the moon about...
No, you're not a homer.
I do think they're back. I think they're back on the national stage, and one of the reasons I think they're back on the national stage is, one, their recruiting is better than ever,
yeah.
But two, we needed to see against good teams and good coaches we needed to see the X's and O's part. And we have seen that. Dude, Mario Cristobal and that group has this team playing so well. They are really well coached. They're leading the league in fewest penalties. And they went toe-to-toe with the mighty Huskies, the team that we've been told is the best in the league for the last, what, three years now. And they punched him in the mouth. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of the extra fervor comes from is that it's not just, for lack of a better term, trickery and a lot of people like to call it a gimmick.
Sure.
When they were winning games before, it wasn't, but you see where that came from.
There was a way that people used a slight to try to dismiss what they were doing. And there was nothing, there was no trickery, there was no slight about that. In fact, there was part of me.
My brother.
What?
Big time breaking news. Finish your point.
Throughout the game, there was part of me that was like, my God, turn Herbert loose here. And I'll give Arroyo and Cristobal credit. They knew what they were doing. They had a plan to be more physical, run the football, and wear down UW. And it worked once you got to overtime. I wonder what we would be saying if a 37-yard field goal goes through. Would we be giving them criticism for being too conservative?
Yeah.
But they didn't. And so give them credit. They were physical. They stuck to running the football. And they beat UW playing UW football, Stanford football, if you will, physical, rough in the trenches. And I did. I thought it was a nice back and forth, but I really felt that Oregon was the better team along both lines of scrimmage. And I don't know if we would have said that going into the game that was going to be the case. Monster win for Oregon.
Okay. So, man, this is just so, well, I'm not going to say anything other than I'm just going to tell you what just happened.
Okay.
Big time breaking news. And we don't have a sounder because we're in a new studio because things are going on in our other studio. They're fixing things. And right now we're kind of going to be bare bones this week in terms of sounders and things.
Yeah.
Trailblazers owner Paul Allen just passed away.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they're saying complications of the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow is right. Yeah. So Mike is on the phone right now with a couple of our people to try to get, some more info and talk about this a little bit. But, that's what just happened.
I mean, you're almost left speechless. No one saw this coming. I mean, right? This was
he'd beaten it what twice?
He'd beaten this cancer once before. Right. He had already beaten cancer twice. He's still relatively young. Access to the best healthcare, obviously, that you can find anywhere. And I think most people, and maybe this was just them playing it close to the vest.
No, there's no question.
But everyone that I talked to was under the impression that this was kind of an early, early stages of the fight. And yeah, I mean, there was obviously some thought of anytime cancer comes back for a third time that you're in the fight of your life. I mean, anytime you get cancer, period, you're in the fight of your life. But I think everyone thought that it would be that it would be a fight, that this would be a lengthy process. I mean, this can't be more, maybe a month? Since the announcement was made, a couple of weeks.
Since his statement?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so I think that it's pretty clear that he was sicker or more sick than they let on. But
and so you ask the question, and I'm sure as it goes on, we'll find out more. But, is this something, he has not been around as much, right? He has not been as engaged as much.
Right.
Is this something that he's been battling for a year? Is this something that he's been battling for a year and a half? And we're just finding out? Is this something that was late detected? I mean, there's so many questions that go along with this, but at the same time, you just like you're absolutely heartbroken. For his family, for those around him, for the Trailblazers, for the community in general, the people that up in Seattle and all the different charitable adventures that he's had. And I mean, it's stunning. When you said we had breaking news, never in a million years would I have guessed that.
Yeah, it is really stunning. He was a great owner of the Trailblazers
and Seahawks.
Well, yeah, but I think down here we know him through the lens of the Trailblazers, and he really was a great owner. I mean, he was, for all his faults,
he saved this team.
He was a guy who who cared. He wanted to win. It wasn't about money. It was about winning, and he did everything he could to do that pretty much the whole time he owned the team. And you know what's crazy about that is you can't really ask for much more out of your owner. It doesn't mean you're going to win. Doesn't mean they're going to do everything right. But that's what you want as a fan, is you want your ownership not to be that group that's just trying to pinch pennies or just trying to enhance the bottom line for a better profit each year. You want to win, and he was a fan, and he wanted to win, and that to me, it's worth its weight in gold, as because there's so many bad owners and so many owners that want to pinch pennies, and he never did. I mean, I think he changed his tactics over the years in that regard, but.
The rumor is
he always wanted to win games.
The number you hear thrown out is $1 billion.
Oh yeah,
that he spent.
He dumped a lot of money into this thing, and I think over time he learned that maybe wasn't the best way to go about it. Or there were other ways to win without doing that, and I think that they've kind of recalibrated that, particularly over the last handful of probably the last 10 years or so. But either way, take the good with the bad. That guy was one of the best owners, because not only was he wanting to win and was he a fan just like you, even though he wasn't terribly engaged in the Portland community here, he not only wanted to win and was a fan, the guy absolutely tried his ass off to win.
Yes, and he took some criticism here, obviously, for meddling and whatnot, and sometimes the culture, you know, you hear about the Vulcans, and remember we had what was it, Black Friday, and the people, you know, laid off and all that. But I'm with you. We've said this on this program 100 times. For all the criticism that anyone wanted to throw him, you thanked your lucky stars that man was your owner. And to be honest with you, without him and without the Moda Center getting built, the Rose Garden, and that he built, you know, you ask the question, look what happened with Seattle, right? Are the Portland Trailblazers in Portland without Paul Allen?
The answer is no.
Yeah.
No.
You know, so anytime you're grateful that this city has that beloved team, there's that man to thank for it.
All right. So Paul Allen was only 65 years old. He has passed away from complications of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That just coming down. We obviously won't let, we've got a lot to juggle here. Let's put it that way. So we're on the phone to some people to maybe get some perspective on Paul Allen and the death of Paul Allen. But also it's a big day in the state because of your Ducks.
Yeah.
You're such a homer that you can't hide your homerism for the Ducks. It's going to be over the top and obnoxious for the next 4 hours. It's spewing Duck love.
It's just so weird because, you came in today on such a sports high, and, you know, and I'm not the best way to put it. There's just some things that when they happen, it puts everything else into perspective. And anyone that has lost someone, and you know, I lost my dad, 3.5-4 years ago now. I lost my dad to cancer, and there's just some things, and they put everything in perspective, and it's just such a weird thing how quickly life, and not that I knew Paul Allen or had any sort of personal connection to him, but you know, having been in the market for most of my life and having, you know, covered, you know, the Blazers for 15 years, it's weird how quickly your day goes from one thing to a next, with just the release of some news.
Do you want Jody's statement?
Yeah, this is
from the family.
Jody Allen.
Yeah, Jody Allen from the family of Paul Allen. Quote: while most knew Paul Allen, let me make sure this is right. Allen passes away Monday afternoon in Seattle, 65 years old. His sister Jody said he was a remarkable individual on every level. Yeah, this is her statement. She says, quote: while most knew Paul Allen as a technologist and philanthropist, for us, he was a much-loved brother and uncle and an exceptional friend. Paul's family and friends were blessed to experience his wit, warmth, his generosity, and deep concern. For all the demands on his schedule, there was always time for family and friends. At this time of loss and grief for us and so many others, we are profoundly grateful for the care and concern he demonstrated every day. End quote. All right, text 55305. Okay. So Mike just told me that Jason Quick's going to pop on next segment. Jason Quick, of course, has been covering the Blazers for a lot of Paul Allen's tenure as owner.
Yes.
He is now with The Athletic. He's no longer with NBC Sports Northwest, and Jason's going to hop on the phone with us next. And text 55305. Thoughts. We'll get some of those in. And we will talk about a big day for the Ducks. We'll balance as best we can.
Yeah, juggling act today for certain.
So thank you for being with us. It is a Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. It's Isaac and Souk, 3:15. We'll be right back on 1080 The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, we are doing, well, we're juggling a lot of balls here for you. Sad news today. As we came on hot and ready to talk about the Ducks and Huskies game with you. Typical Monday, yeah. Fun football Monday.
Probably the biggest we've had here in a number of years.
Instead, we discuss the death of Trailblazers owner Paul Allen.
What, less than about two and a half weeks since he made the public announcement that his cancer had returned, and now this news today, this sad, tragic news.
Let's try to get more with Jason Quick, longtime Trailblazers reporter who has moved on from NBC Sports Sports Northwest. He's now with The Athletic. Jason, I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of why we're having you on, that this news may have meant that Paul Allen was more sick than maybe we were led to believe. Is that how you understand it?
Yeah, Isaac. And I got to say, I'm shook. I did not see this coming. For The Athletic, I was asked, hey, should we start getting an obituary ready for Paul Allen? And I kind of relayed that to somebody in the Blazers and said, oh, you don't have to worry about that for a while. So I think this caught everyone by surprise. This is stunning. I'm really shook.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking the same thing. I mean, he's 65, and I know this would be the third time he's battled it, but you figure 65 years old, a man of his means, best health care that you could possibly get. I mean, I think everyone was assuming that this was going to be some sort of long fought out battle, not 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know, the Blazer players recently at practice all took turns filming kind of a get well, best wishes type video. And I know that at the Moda Center, fans were welcome to do that as well. But I don't think anyone thought he was that far along or in that kind of state. So, again, I am just absolutely, absolutely floored. But, hey, this guy, he enjoyed his life, you know, just I was only around him when he was with the Blazers, but he traveled a lot to the Blazer games. But it was so much more than that. You know, he had a place in New Orleans. He loved going to see live music there. He would talk about going in on one of those airboats and checking out the crocodiles and the swamps. He loved going to L.A. He had a place in L.A., was very friendly with the stars and the, you know, Steven Spielberg. He got around, and you know, he'd go to Africa quite a bit on safaris. So it's just so hard right now. There's just a lot of things going through my mind, and you know, he gets a lot of criticism in Portland, I think unfairly. This guy kept this franchise here, built the Rose Garden, and always opened his book to try to make this team better, his pocketbook. And I just don't know where this puts the Blazers. I don't know. I think his sister, Jodi Patton, kind of steps in, I think, now. And just from what I hear, she wasn't a huge proponent of Paul having sports teams. But, again, I'm jumping ahead of myself, probably speaking out of turn. But I think that's where it will turn to is Jodi Patton, his sister, who has a very prominent role in Vulcan.
Is it as simple as if Paul Allen doesn't own this team that we don't have an NBA franchise here in this city?
I don't know, Souk. Moving forward, I don't know. But I think, you know, as we are today, yeah, if he's not around, I don't know if we do have the Blazers. Just because of the nature of the small markets and all that, and where we've had to, you know, we've seen Seattle lose a team, Vancouver lose a team, Sacramento nearly lost one. You know, you'd have to think that Portland might have been in that conversation as well if Paul wasn't here with his big pocketbook and his commitment. I mean, this was a committed owner, and he cared deeply about this team and the people on the team. You know, Damian and Paul had a very good relationship. Evan Turner talked about how he loved just shooting it up with them. This was an owner who didn't just look at these guys as a number or as an asset. He cared about them, and we, you know, the stories of him and how involved he was in the draft process and how he liked to watch film on the prospects and stuff, that's real. I mean, he was really a fan of basketball, and he did a lot, I think, to make it secure here in Portland.
This is Jason Quick of The Athletic. Blazers owner and Seahawks owner Paul Allen has passed away at the age of 65. Yeah, I read his book, Idea Man, and there wasn't a lot about sports in there, but he did have a chapter on the Blazers, and he did have a chapter on the Seahawks. And, of course, most people know, or if you don't, he bought the Seahawks to keep them in Seattle. Civic duty, he felt. But in the Blazers chapter, he explains how he fell in love with the Sonics at a very young age up there and loved basketball. He truly did. Jason is not lying. He loved the game. And when the Blazers popped up as an opportunity to own a team, he jumped on that through his love of the Sonics from the beginning. So it was definitely, there's no question, it was definitely authentic. This man loved the game and was really into it. I'm curious to know what you thought behind the scenes. You know, there are a few Paul Allen stories I could tell of, you know, you don't get face to face time with him. I mean, that's very rare. But just kind of he was very private, Paul Allen. Yeah. Did you have anything behind the scenes with him or any interactions with him over the years that that you can share?
Yeah, you know, throughout the years, just seeing him pre-games and stuff, you see him in the back hall and stuff. We would chat very shortly, but probably the most personal he got was what I shared earlier about New Orleans. We were in New Orleans, and he was just gushing about his day out on the airboats and checking out the swamps and the alligators and stuff. And he's like, "You have to do it. It is a must thing to do." But yeah, he was very shy and didn't like to reveal much and wasn't much for talking, but he loved being around the team. It used to be every year that he'd invite the team up to his Mercer Island place and they would practice there. He had a full court basketball court in his house, and the team would practice there, and he really got a kick out of that. He used to have a team function on his yacht. He'd bring it down to Portland, and I think season ticket holders and stuff would come on, and he'd host the players on there. Rashid famously didn't come one year. He got fined. But I think there was a lot more to him than obviously we all knew. He liked to keep his stuff very private, but he had a lot of interest. You know, we funded going down and finding the Titanic, you know, the brain research he's done up in Seattle. He was a very, very interesting man.
Well, Jason, we'll let you go. I know you got a lot of work to do, so thank you for coming on short notice. Appreciate you.
You bet, guys. We'll
okay, Jason Quick of the Athletic. Paul Allen is dead at the age of 65. I didn't want to go there with him yet, but he already brought it up. What happens to the team?
Yeah.
Don't know.
No.
It's hard to know. I guess we'll find that out. But he mentioned it there, and a lot of people are texting this in too. You know, we are likely most of the time we talk about Paul Allen, we're talking about him through the Trailblazers lens because that's what we do. That's who we cover. We're the sports station. But his impact on the world goes far beyond. And we're not trying to ignore that. I mean, his philanthropic legacy is one that is hard to match.
Well, and he was a man that, I mean, obviously when you talk about, you know, technology and his role in that, and you mentioned the charity aspect of it, and he had so many other passions, whether it was music and travel and but you're right. I mean, we view him through a very narrow prism. But as I read that book too, Idea Man, and when you read that, it does give you a much like a 30,000-foot view and what a small piece sports fit into that. But if there was a piece to his life that was sports, it was the Portland Trailblazers. That was a project of love, not a project of civic duty or anything like that. He loved this team and he loved that sport.
All right, Mike Barrett's going to come on, talk a little bit about his thoughts on the death of Paul Allen. We also are out to Bill Shonley, yeah, the Shons, who is a longtime upstanding member of the franchise. And so all of that is to come, as well as more football talk wrapping up the weekend, Oregon, Washington. But the big news today, Trailblazers Seahawks owner Paul Allen is dead at the age of 65. This is Isaac and Souk on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 3:36 on Monday with Isaac and Souk. Sad to report that Trailblazers owner Paul Allen has passed away at the age of 65. Jason Quick last segment with his perspective. Now a man who knew Paul Allen, I think, fairly well. Mike Barrett, now with Portland Diamond Project, of course, former Trailblazers broadcaster. He joins us now. Mike, my friend.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. My first question to Jason is the same to you. Were there any indications? I mean, I know he announced this a couple weeks ago that he was battling this. It was only 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Did you know that he was maybe more sick than we were led to believe, or no?
No. In fact, I got a couple of texts a little while ago, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes ago, and people asking if I knew anything, and I'm not really in touch with that world anymore, but no, I had no idea, you know. I mean, I was around, you know, of course, the first time that he battled non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I remember it took a toll on him physically, and remembered seeing him oftentimes, you know, away from the game, and had heard that it was a difficult challenge for him. But after this announcement and following, you know, so immediately following the announcement, it's just stunning to actually, I'm just trying to get my, like everybody else, I'm yeah, sure, trying to get my mind around this. It's just a hard reality to come to grips with.
Yeah. I mean, it really is shocking. He's, you know, only 65, but he had battled cancer a few times. What, I mean, you having worked for him for a long time and in that, you know, behind the scenes with Vulcan and the Trailblazers, what did he mean to the franchise? Can you put that into perspective for people through the Trailblazers?
Just amazing. I mean, you think about in the 90s, I mean, I don't, and a lot of people will be saying this, but it's true. I don't know if that team would be here if not for him, not only in the 90s, but then even in, you know, there was the situation in 04 with the arena situation where it was a potential bankruptcy and all. I remember being on a road trip and really talking to a couple of executives, and there was some serious concern about the team perhaps moving. And I, not only did he save the Seahawks in Seattle, as everybody knows, he was very responsible for saving the Blazers in Portland. And that was closer than people think. And I know people have told that story, but I just think it, you know, him doing what he did at the time that he did it was vital to that franchise. And so it's, I don't know what the coming days are going to be like. And I know people are already speculating, and we used to speculate that, you know, just in the walls of the organization, when we would talk about what if anything ever happened to him, what would happen to the team. And, you know, I saw the statement by his sister Jody, and there was always the thought that, you know, she was never really around the games and never really seemed to have a whole lot of interest. Paul's mom, before he lost her, was such a fan. And you know, when he lost her, we even had concerns. But the Blazers were such a love of Paul's. And I think even above and beyond, he loved the Seahawks, clearly, but his first love was the Blazers, and I'm sure that'll be written about a lot, because, you know, people have talked about that. He was just a massive basketball fan, and as witnessed by his participation in pre-draft workouts, he would always show up at Summer League. He would be in the draft room no matter what, and so there was a passion for him. And the city, I think, you know, and this always happens when you lose somebody like this, you look back and you want to remember what you had, But then you kick yourself for maybe not appreciating it like you should when you have it. And I think that's probably the case with Paul Allen.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because, you know, for all the criticism that he did receive at time through fans, there was always this fear, right? Then you talked about it there even inside the organization of what happens if he something happens to him. What happens if he decides to sell? What happens if he does pass away, he's battled cancer twice? And that should tell you what his role was when there is just that abject fear of what it would be without him. Because I think deep down, people understand, and maybe more so now than ever, just what he meant and the security that he not only gave this team, but the ability to compete. Then in a small market world, Paul was a guy that was willing to spend. And you can criticize the team, you know, for the roster they built, but this is what, the third or fourth highest payroll in the league. And that's because of that man.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And, you know, I mean, you remember the teams, you know, around 2000, you know, when he brought in that team and that had payroll was off the charts for those days. And no, he wanted to win so badly. And I saw a couple of people on social media, you know, were saying it's a shame never got a title for him. But I just think the competition and the day-to-day interaction, and he would come into the locker room at times after games and say a few words to the team, usually about defense. Joel Prisbilla used to always laugh that Paul would come into the locker room and not really be terribly comfortable talking in front of a group of guys, but his closing, he'd clench his fist and always say defense as he would leave the room. I don't know so much as it was a rallying cry for defense or just maybe an awkward something to say at the end of it. But, you know, the players always enjoyed him. You know, Clyde Drexler always had such great things to say about Mr. Allen, and, you know, everybody was close to him. And, you know, I spent some one-on-one time with him, and it was usually on the road, way before a game. And he would fly in for a game, and sometimes we'd know he was coming, and sometimes we wouldn't. And I remember one particular time, I don't know, a few years ago, we were in New Orleans, and I'm in the arena extremely early, which I always was, and I look over in the corner, and he's standing there, and he waves me over, and I always knew how to start a conversation, and it never was about basketball. I would immediately say, what good concert have you seen lately? And so that would get him fired up, and he would have just come back from Wembley seeing Led Zeppelin or some crazy story about a submarine down in Bermuda, and they went down in a submarine with Bono and The Edge. And I mean, it's just these crazy, cool stories. But he loved talking about that stuff as much as he loved talking about basketball. So, I did do a lot of interviews with him, and he didn't do a ton of interviews. And I was just thinking back, and actually I was a moment ago before you guys called, I was just flipping through photos. I happened to be at my computer and was looking back through, just wondering if I had any photos of him, which I think, you know, with him that people do at a time like this. And I've just found a few that one that I went up to Seattle as he was going to make a pitch for an NBA All-Star game. And I got to spend some time with him there. And I think people who were close to him in his world, that he worked with him in business, you know, it seemed like they tended to, and sorry, I'm rambling. I'm just kind of going through in my mind, kind of processing, but they oftentimes wouldn't want to look him square in the face, or they were afraid because Paul had a funny way about him, but he just always wanted to be, you know, treated like a friend. And I would always grip his hand tightly and kind of slap him on the shoulder and look him in the eye and then start a conversation. And he always responded to that. And he was great with Mike Rice as well. And he would always come over and spend time with us when he was in the building, mostly on the road, not very often at home. But you know, I think back at those moments, and not to involve myself in the story, just in terms of my own interactions with him. And it was a few years ago, too. He would always show up for the team picture. And the team picture was always a home game late in the season following all the trades and acquisitions. And I'm sitting there scribbling down game notes, and nobody was in the arena. I mean, it was empty. It was just me. And I was sitting at the press table, and I just sensed this figure lurching over me. And I look up, and it's Paul. And I just said, what are you doing in here? And he said, well, we got the team picture. And he kind of would laugh. And, you know, you get him one-on-one away from things when he wasn't kind of embarrassed or awkward or lacking confidence. And He was great, and he was such a forward thinker, as everybody's going to talk about. And I can't wait to read all the articles, even as sad as it'll be, revealing how far ahead of the curve this guy was with technology and with sports. What a pioneer and what a legend.
This is Mike Barrett, former Trailblazers broadcaster. Paul Allen has passed away at the age of 65. Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you just from the stuff that I've read and the stuff that I know about him, you know, people that obviously have been around in the market for a while that have dealt with him. He was quite a normal guy and had a lot of passions, but I think you just touched on something that's interesting is maybe there was a bit of a disconnect with the fans in the city, just on a personal level with him, not with his franchise, but with him because he was so private and closed, but all he really wanted was to just talk normally, and no one would really treat him normally because he's Paul Allen.
Well, it's
he's
weird.
Worth a gajillion dollars, and it freaks people out.
When you listen to guys like Barrett, and we had Quick on before this, talking, you know, personal stories, he was such a small and in some ways kind of like he wasn't in great shape or anything like that. He just kind of looked like a middle-aged normal guy. But I don't know if I've ever been around in all my years someone that had more of a presence. Like when you were in the hallway with him and he came down, there was like a hushed reverence. And then he always had like that Israeli security guard that was always with him. There was always just this sense that he was unapproachable. And I think obviously when you're one of the richest men in the world, it comes with that. And we've talked to enough people, and you're right. In some ways, that probably is a lonely existence. He was not cheated out of life in any way. That man lived a full life, but you're right. I don't know how many people could just be normal with him. He had a presence about him that just lent itself to what you were talking about, kind of that distance.
Yeah, and that was my question, Mike, is what made him so private? Was it he just got to be so rich and so well known that it's just like it's really hard to be normal, and that's what caused that? Or is that just part of his, you know, was that part of his DNA?
Probably a combination. I mean, I think but you guys touched on it, you mentioned it too. I think the way that people treat you who are around you, and I think that oftentimes, you know, when you have a security detail and it's telling people to get against the wall when he comes through, I don't know that Paul would have wanted that. You know, I always wondered that when he came down the hall, because my times with him weren't like that. And it wasn't like we were buddies, but I did feel like I knew him a little bit and had enough interactions with him to where he would wave us over and we would have a laugh at times about something basketball related or otherwise. And then I know some other people who knew him. And you know, in fact, it was just a couple months ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time with, I don't know if people know Zorro, the drummer. Zorro is Lenny Kravitz's drummer, who drummed from, he's like the most legendary R&B drummer of all time. And I heard Zorro speak, and then I got to talk to Zorro for a minute after he spoke. And I asked him, he showed some pictures of he and Paul from his, you know, Paul flew him out to the Octopus, the ship, and Zorro talked of these times of they'd go into the studio and they'd jam, and Paul was a good guitar player. He played at a Blazer Christmas party, I think it was a Christmas party years ago at the Art Museum, and I still remember him getting up on stage, and people who haven't seen him don't know how good he was and how passionate he was about music, and he was also a very good guitar player and rock and roll guitar player. And so Zorro was telling me about these times where they would jam, and Zorro doesn't know anything about sports. I mean, he didn't know any. And he said Paul kept leaving the room, and he said he was sensing that he was going in to watch basketball. And finally, Zorro went in and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm watching a game." And he said, "I'm watching my team." And so Zorro said, "Well, you have a favorite team?" He said, "No, I actually own this team." And so there was some laughs about that. But he had that life away from sports to where people who knew him well, like Zorro, that didn't even know he owned a team, but he kind of kept the lives separately. But to see him show up at Madison Square Garden with Dan Aykroyd, or to see Anthony Kiedis come to a game at the arena here, and, you know, he had this inner circle of guys. I know he was close with Bono and the Edge and the U2 guys, and he had so many guys like that in his life. And I think some people at times say, well, it's because he was feeding their foundations or whatever. Or, I don't think it was that. I think those guys really did regard him and were entertained by him and were friends with him. And but he loved the entertainment industry, just actors and musicians, and maybe even more than athletes. But there was a good amount of that as well. And his times with interacting with the executives. I'm sure Neil Olshey has his stories. I know Kevin Pritchard always did, Chet Buchanan, the others who were here that I knew well. Of times they get phone calls from Paul watching some game tape about some college guy somewhere they wanted him to take a look at. And he was passionate about the game. I don't know that he wasn't that way about the NFL, but I've heard from those closer to him that he wasn't necessarily like that as much with the NFL. It was the NBA and it was the Blazers, and they were his love.
And I can just picture him sitting on Octopus in the Caspian Sea, Googling YouTube videos of the next great
Victor Kriapa. Right. This kid from Russia, we got to get him.
Were you ever on Octopus?
No, I was on the Tatoosh once when it was in town, but I heard a lot of stories about the Octopus, but never was on that.
Well, Mike, thanks for coming on and sharing some good stories and sharing your perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's just it's a shocking day, and it's amazing to think that, you know, Mr. Glickman, the founder of the Blazers, is with us, and I'm happy he's with us, and I'm just shocked that Mr. Allen isn't. Two guys that I've had a lot of interactions with and loved, and it's a tough day. It's really, and for a lot of people, obviously, it's just, I think it's hit everybody with a lot of shock, and your mind starts to go back to memory. So I appreciate getting the chance to kind of process with you guys and talk about it.
No question. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys.
All right, that's Mike Barrett, who's a former Trailblazers broadcaster, longtime Trailblazers broadcaster. And by the way, classy guy. Paul Allen's the one that ultimately fired him.
Yeah.
But, it's obviously so much bigger than that. And good stories about the death of Paul Allen. If you're just tuning in, he was 65. Complications from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Real quick, I know we got a break, but I think this hits a lot of people. One, obviously the impact he made in the community, but I think there's this notion when you have that much money, and I do think that it isolates you in some ways. I just think it's hard for anyone to know how to treat someone that is worth, you know, billions of dollars. But I do think this hits home for a lot of people because, you know, everyone has battled in some, at this point in your life, right? You're our age. We all know someone that's passed or has battled it. And I do think that in some ways there's this idea that when you're worth $17 billion, that it doesn't affect you. And I think that there is part of your humanity that says, well, if it takes out the guy that's the 17th richest person in the world, there's a little bit of that fear of, God, what happens when I get it? What happens when someone in my family gets it? Like, so I do think that there is this mythical idea that rich people don't battle this, or that they can't be affected by it the same way. And so when they see something like that, I do think it hits people in a very sensitive spot, because I think we all are afraid of our own mortality. And I think something like this strikes at the core of that.
All right, we will get back to some football. We're also going to explore the Seattle angle, of course, with some of our friends up there with regards to Paul Allen, and we'll get that going. But right now it is 3:53. We'll be right back on 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, busy day. It is 3:58 on The Fan. We're going to have to break, get caught up here. We will talk more about the death of Paul Allen. He has passed away at the age of 65. Just had Jason Quick and Mike Barrett on for their perspectives, and chasing some more guests as far as that goes. And we'll also get back to Oregon's big win.
Yeah, I mean, this was a... you could make the argument this was the biggest weekend of college football here in you know, Portland. And gosh, we're probably talking 5 years. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes things come along that are just a lot bigger than that and puts everything else into perspective.
All right. So let's take a break. And when we come back, more on the death of Paul Allen and more on Oregon's, signature moment.
Yes. Yes, program-defining
program-defining
game.
Win.
Yeah,
you'll look over Washington.
You'll look back on this if it goes the way you want it to, and Cristobal ends up being the real deal here. I mean, it's so early on, but if this leads to what a lot of people think it's going to lead to, you will look back on this game as one of those marquee stepping stone games for a program.
All right, we'll be right back. Text the Better You Today text line 55305 with your thoughts. We'll get to a few of those as well here on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.